if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery or murder. It is not a war of each against all. Anarchism is the very opposite of all that. Find out for yourself. Tune in to the 4ZZZ Aniki Show on Monday from 12 to 1 p.m.
I think that violence can be even applied to the natural environment because we rely upon the natural environment for our survival. But inanimate objects, especially those that are man-made and are used to destroy life, I don't think you can be violent too. I think it's a lot of times more violent to allow them to exist.
All right, baby, baby.
A little groovy tune that I'm sure you'll enjoy. Shake it, shake it, shake it.
Yeah, it's okay. We might try something a little bit different. Yeah, something like you got that?
Yeah, that's pretty
ready?
Funky.
Ready? Just have a go with me. Yeah.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Aniki Show. You're on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. My name is Linda, and I'm going to be here with you till 1 o'clock. The time is currently 5 minutes past 12. Thanks very much to Linda for Alphabet Soup today, and she was looking at the letter W, and I continued on with the letter W there with the Winnie Coopers and success. Coming up on today's show, we've got a busy one. First of all, we're going to hear from Submedia, and it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine, looking at Halloween and Palestine, as well as a few other things. Then we're going to look at Kobani, the situation in Kobani, in northern Syria. Also, we've got some anti-far news, thanks to Anarchist, and also some worldwide anarchist news, plus plenty of great music for you. So let's get straight into it. This is the very latest episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I feel fine requires a language and concept warning. Thanks for tuning in.
This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
There's petrol bombs being thrown. There's bricks being thrown. They had control at that point, and I think a lot of them knew that.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine, the show where all of the Popo's darkest fears come to life.
Radio said that they were taping Stanley knives to wood to throw. They're making spears. You could potentially be severely injured, or even worse. I can't explain how scary that was.
I am your host, The Stimulator. And it's a time of year again where the streets are swarming with drunk millennials dressed up as sexy versions of their favorite childhood cartoon characters. And white hipsters are giving carte blanche to flaunt their casual racism by posing as offensive caricatures of peeps brutalized by white supremacy and colonization.
Oops, I was racist. Black guy, come here.
How can I help you?
I was trying to bond with my black coworker, but things got racist real fast.
Hey, man, he's all right. He's a really good guy. What he meant to say was is that he finds it extremely refreshing that you managed to somehow defy racial stereotypes, remain your own person, rooted but not bound to the black experience, which is culturally astonishing for him because he comes from Milwaukee and his father's a redneck.
Yep, Halloween has become quite the fucking shit show, which is a shame, because back when I was just a wee niño, it used to be a good fucking time. But somewhere along the line, the sense of childlike adventure you got from dressing up with your homies and excitement over getting shit tons of free fucking candy gave way to a greasy celebration of irony and all of the most mindless aspects of pop culture. And don't get me started on all those hokey Halloween themed episodes that seem to pop up like an unwanted cold sore this time of year. Anyway, thankfully there are still plenty of troublemakers out there raising hell and sending a shiver down the spines of the ruling class, like in Peru, where earlier this month thousands of peeps converged in the streets of Lima to send a big
fuck you
to the vampire capitalists of the IMF and the World Bank, who are in town to plot the latest round of structural reforms to the crisis-racked global financial system. As we reported back in June, the motherfucking Peruvian resistance has been waging a serious fucking war against the country's extractive industries for the better part of a year now, and the IMF and World Motherfucking Bank are rightly seen as a main driving force behind many of these destructive projects. The protests in Lima took place while a state of emergency was in effect in six provinces in the country's southern Apurimac region. After four protesters were killed on September 29th, during a violent protest against a proposed $7.4 billion copper mine called Las Bambas. Unsurprisingly, resistance to extractive industries was the main focus of the protesters who assembled in Lima, as was the recently approved TPP, or Trans-Pacific Partnership, a newly signed 12-nation trade deal that critics have dubbed NAFTA on steroids, and which will further weaken the country's environmental and labor regulations to the benefit of the flesh-eating zombies of the global capitalist junta.
Patents for drugs will continue to be extended. There will be less and less access to generic medicines, increasing our risk of dying. And transnational corporations will establish a kingdom over this country and the people.
Back closer to home, Mohawks from Ganawagi have put the mayor of Montreal on notice after it was announced that the city would be dumping 8 billion liters of human shit and medical waste into the St. Lawrence River.
Medical waste? Spooky.
What the fuck, agitator? That's not spooky. It's fucking disgusting. It's medical waste and human shit. They want to dump it in the river. What the fuck is wrong with you?
What? I'm just saying that stuff could be haunted and shit. Ooh.
You're a sick fuck, agitator. As I was saying, on October 15th, a group of around a dozen Mohawk women warned the city of a series of escalating actions unless they backed off from their plans.
We come to you with the gentleness of a feather, which we hope will be accepted. Should you not respond reasonably, you leave us no alternative but to take necessary action to convince you.
1 week later, they made good on their threat by temporarily blockading a Canadian Pacific Railway track, shutting down train traffic for miles in both directions. They then set up a so-called shit vigil near the Mercier Bridge and are calling on supporters to join them in order to stop the toxic dump. The symbolism of the camp's location is certainly not lost on the ruling class of Canada, as this is the very same bridge that the Ganawagi Mohawks blockaded during the Oka standoff, choking off a vital commuter link to Montreal, and dramatically escalating pressure on the federal government that was then locked in a tense standoff with the Mohawks of nearby Ganasetagi. But who knows? Maybe these politicians need more reminding. After all, anyone who doesn't instinctively realize that it's a bad idea to dump literally tons of human shit into a major fucking river can't be all that fucking bright.
البيضة والسودة صاروا كلاب الزمان يلبسوها كموضة مهما تفننوا فيها مهما غيروا بلونها كفية عربية بتضل عربية حطتنا بدنا اياه ثقافتنا بدنا اياه كرامتنا بدنا اياه كل شي إلنا بدنا اياه ما راح نسكت لن نسمح لن ليك ليك لا بقلن يسرقوا شغلة مش إلهن ما خصن فيه يلدونا بلتبس لبس هالأرض بكفيهنش طمعانين عالقدس قدس اعرفوا كيف يكونوا بشر وغصب عن أبوهم هي حطتنا
من هيك لبسنا الكوفي
لأننا وطني
الكوفي كوفي عربي.
Over the past month, shit has been popping off in Palestine, with mass protests breaking out across the occupied territories and renewed clashes taking place between Palestinian youth, Israeli settlers, and security forces. Fed up with the soul-crushing daily indignities of life under Israeli occupation and the total fucking collapse of state-sanctioned peace processes, Palestinians have begun launching lone wolf attacks on Israelis, including dozens of stabbings and shootings. The decentralized and unpredictable nature of these attacks has Israeli society freaking the fuck out, leading security forces and armed vigilantes to respond with disproportionate and often indiscriminate violence. On Sunday, October 18th, in the Israeli city of Beersheba, an Eritrean refugee named Haptom Zerom was shot by a security guard and then beaten to death by a racist fucking mob after being mistakenly blamed for a nearby armed attack, which had actually been carried out by an Arab Israeli citizen. And although they are certainly facing the brunt of it, this paranoid fucking racism isn't only claiming the lives of black and brown peeps. Two Jewish Israeli citizens have also been killed after being mistaken for Arabs, one by an IDF soldier and another by an Israeli settler, trying to carry out revenge killing against Palestinians. Yep, the situation is tense as fuck, and it looks like considerable numbers of Israelis are starting to completely lose their shit. This latest uptick in violence comes amidst heightened tensions over the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, which was also the main flashpoint that kicked off the Second Intifada in September of 2000. At the time of writing, the current wave of unrest has claimed the lives of 8 Israelis and 57 Palestinians, in a bloody cycle that shows no signs of slowing down anytime soon.
The Arab leaders and the Arab armies are asleep. So we, the young men and women here, are the ones doing the job supposed to be done by Arab armies and Arab presidents. We're beaten, grenades are thrown at us, we smell tear gas and we go to jail. And we undergo all that for the sake of the Arab nation.
To learn more about this fucked up situation, I caught up with Boudour Hassan, a Palestinian anarchist from Jerusalem and the creator of the Random Shelling blog. Hey Boudour, how the fuck are you?
I'm good. Trying to be as much, you know, as the situation allows.
Many commentators are suggesting that what is happening in Palestine is the beginning of a third intifada against the Israeli occupation. What's your take on that, and how does the situation on the ground compare to the first two intifadas?
I think it's wrong to put it this way. First, because the situation in Palestine now is entirely different from the first two intifadas. The first intifada was backed by factions that were based in the diaspora. So there was a leadership and there was a strong liberation movement behind it. Well, the second intifada, we had the Palestinian Authority, and it was mostly militarized, unlike the first, which was mostly popular, with definitely with armed element, but it was mostly popular. This movement is completely different because the factions almost do not exist in the equation, nor does the Palestinian Authority, which has no control on what's going on in Jerusalem, and which actually is trying to prevent the movement from mushrooming and from growing in the West Bank. So I don't think the right question to frame is whether it's a third intifada or not. The right question is to ask is, can this movement develop into a big social movement against the Israeli occupation, and how will it lead us? But yeah, as I said, it's the situation is really different, but we're definitely seeing a rebellion and an uprising, which is mainly centered in Jerusalem, but which has already expanded to the West Bank, to the Gaza Strip, and even to the territories occupied in 1948.
What has been the effect of the Israeli government's policies of collective punishment on the families of Palestinian martyrs?
The surprising thing, perhaps for Israel, but not for us, is that these collective punishment methods have not succeeded. Their attempt, their main goal, their main part of these collective punishment attempts and methods are to deflect the blame from the Israeli occupation to the revolting youth, and to tell the people, look what your youth has done to you. Look how terrible your situation has become because of those who have risen up. And by the way, collective punishments are not only imposed on families of martyrs, they are imposed on entire communities, especially in the Old City and in Shafat refugee camp, in Aysawiyyeh. Like, when you have a closure imposed in the city, in the neighborhood, it doesn't just affect the family, it affects the entire community. So the aim is to divide the community and to, you know, to try to draw voices that say, no, we are tired of this, we just want to go back to our normal lives. And of course there are voices that will come out and say that, and perhaps blame the youth for what they have gone to, for the disturbances that have affected their normal life. But the vast majority of people have not fallen into this trap.
Recently, the Israeli government has begun imposing mandatory prison sentences for children caught throwing rocks at Israeli tanks. What has been the effect of this repression on the Palestinian resistance, and do you think it has directly contributed to the current uprising?
Palestinian kids, children, youth have been throwing rocks since very well, even before the Israeli occupation had begun, since even British colonialism. Stone throwing has been one of the symbols of our resistance, and it hasn't just been a symbol. I mean, it is one of the few ways that kids who are unarmed can use, you know, they use stones, they use Molotov cocktails, they use fireworks. Look, even last year, Israeli police tried to ban the sale of fireworks because Palestinians, during the uprising that happened last year after following the murder of Mohammed Abu Khader, they were really intimidated and really had a hard time due to the fireworks that were fired by Palestinian youth. I don't think such a punishment or even the raising of sentence can prevent the kids themselves from throwing stones. I just think it symbolizes it, as it's give you an indication to the measure of hysteria that the Israeli occupation has reached. The very fact that they are kind of this state with such military might and power and arsenal is forced to raise the sentences for stone throwing, it gives you just a testament to how much they are bothered by what's going on and how much they are scared.
Some leftists in the West morally support Hamas under the rationale that they are democratically elected and that they serve as the primary defenders of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. As an anarchist, what do you have to say to these people?
That is a bit complicated, because I'm definitely not a supporter of Hamas in terms of, don't agree with their political agenda, and I don't agree with their social agenda as well. For me, the fact that they were democratically elected doesn't really change much, because I don't believe in democratic elections anyway. I don't believe in this system of elections and this parliamentary and representative elections. I don't think it's a symbol of democracy or anything. But yes, when there is a war between Hamas and Israel, I absolutely have no doubt who I'm definitely standing with the oppressed side.
Many in the international Palestinian solidarity movement have been silent about the war in Syria. Despite the brutal repression of Palestinians by the Assad regime, particularly the siege of Yarmouk refugee camp. What do you think this is, and what is the current state of communication and solidarity between Palestinians and the occupied territories and the diaspora in Syria?
This question touches a nerve because this is one of the things that really hurt me as someone who fully supports the Syrian revolution and the right of the Syrian people to be free from all forms of oppression, whether be it the oppression of the Assad regime or all counter-revolutionary forces. It has really hurt me a lot to see so many Palestinians and Palestinian solidarity movement or either remain silent or support the Assad regime. I think it's a betrayal. It's not just a betrayal for the Syrian people, it's a betrayal for the values that we stand for as people who are fighting for liberation. I think it's the epitome of hypocrisy to say that you are supporting the Palestinian people and the Palestinian resistance while remaining silent on the face of the oppression that Syrians face. I think that you cannot call yourself a true resistance fighter or a supporter of resistance and supporter of the freedom if you say nothing or if you utter not a word about what Syrians have been facing.
Thanks, Boudour. And that's it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. If you want to listen to my entire interview with Boudour, it's linked to our fucking website, stimulator.tv. In case you didn't know, Submedia TV is fundraising so that we can expand our propaganda video operations. We have put together a bunch of swag incentives to lure you fuckers into digging into your wallets and increase our taco budgets. So far, it's working pretty well. And it warms my non-existent heart to see so many peeps supporting our shit. So behold, a really long fucking list of supporters from the past month. So, big ups to Amasa, Andrew, Ezekiel, Seth, Cynthia, Eloso, Sarah, Samantha, Pramadasi, Gregory, Martin, Jonathan, Stephen, Chris, Jonathan, Anonymous, Cormac, Dylan, Miguel, Francois, Shannon, Jennifer, Benjamin, Claire, Jania, Bridget, Richard, Samuel, Jan, Isaac, Anders, Corbin, Justin, Monica, Robin, Ranko, Guillaume, Noemi, Stephen, Hansen, Colleen, Dera, Micah, Jill Vent, Peter, Vincent, Brandon, Fat Forms, Brees, Raul, Max, Byrne, Daniel, Zach, Don, Steven, Gropen, Blade, Carly, Steve, Christopher, Mortrice Records, Alex Jam, Andrew Raster, Noe, Michael, oh fuck this, I need a taco break, Bear, William, Jeffrey, Daniel, Gabriel, Bart, Andres, Andres, Joshua, Justin, Jason, Steven, Sebastian, Samantha, Fancy, Dave, Kevin, Diana, Lauren, Juice Rap News, Marisol, Joseph, Salom, Robert, Michael, Tom, Kirk, Lydia, Daniel, Aaron, Christine, Lee, Willie, Gerard, Claire, Adam, Semo, Boban, Matt, Albert, Craig, Matthew, Stuart, Jeremy, Gabriela, Cecilia, Christelle, Matias, Lewis, Jack, Breyer, Adrian, Sean, Renzo, Nicolas, Daniel, Crusperman, Eldon, Tori, Craig, Nigel, Alexandra, Jonathan, Harrison, Eric, Bruno, Louis, Zoe, Ben, John, Sarah, Kyle, Michael, Rose, Shelley, Kelly, Harry, Audrey, and Ricky. Chori Queso, I also want to give a warm welcome to our newest members of the Da Conspiracy, Mark Per and Commander Shepard. Machaca. Stay tuned next time for a special motherfucking report on the COP21 climate clusterfuck coming up in Paris. Hasta la próxima, taco smugglers. Some of y'all think it's a trend, a fashion statement. Disgustingly, I spit on the pavement. It's basic. Y'all know I bang for my flag. My bandana ain't no rag. The keffiyeh ain't no scarf. It's a part of the movement. The symbolism is resistance. No coincidence that you can see the RBG in it. Cable neath the bandana. Ain't it beautiful? Men vi är antirasister, ikke anklagas för att vara antisemiter. Tommy, El Tipo Espin, Tonto Noika, Gata Salamete. Hay que hacer, no solamente hablar. Boycott Israel. Being by the told us, knowledge was the fifth.
element. Truth behind the lies is what the music represents. So how the fuck you gonna have a peace settlement when people want a piece of your land to build settlements? There's all different kind of terrorism you could perpetrate. Every dead body causes karma to circulate. It's suicide bombing buildings full of civilians, or cutting off water to cities full of children. You can't try to justify collective punishment. A country never finds peace with bodies buried under it. I guess some Americans just don't remember there's a slave graveyard under the World Trade Center. Stop the criticism of Iranian nuclear fission. Until mutual nuclear disarmament's the mission. This ain't about religion, Muslim, Jew, or Christian. It's about people making money off of that division.
Sin que medien armamentos, digo, siempre es buen momento para iniciar. Entendimiento es demasiado el desencuentro. Siento que el respeto debe ser boleto al parlamento. Es el respeto el primer paso, si no lo que sigue es cuento. Es un complejo asunto, ¿cuánto tiempo? Son cientos de años. El premio al mayor daño para los de menor tamaño. Me empeño en no estar de acuerdo con ninguna posición que implique tal o más cual versión de discriminación, brother. Violencia, intolerancia en cualquier forma de presión, más allá de cualquier religión, visión de obsesión.
Boycott, boycott.
Hay que hacer, no solamente hablar. Boycott Israel.
I am recognizing that the voices in my head are urging me to be myself and never follow when I'm led. So with that said, it's insurgency as we confirm some things. I am anti-Zionist and any fundamentalist. The devil's in the specifics, mixing with your favorite dish. You can beef with Israel and not be anti-Semitic. Don't buy beef from Israel, cause you paying to kill them kids. So if you're rocking this shit, go ahead, do the Gaza Strip. My heart race when I hit a park date from off the lens. We have lifted Mr. Olympic scene. Free Mandela pickets in this image being repeatedly to street for villa children, even freed from prison cause of global criticism of this horrible system boycotted by the citizens.
No le me son BTS, boycott Israel.
Hay que hacer, no solamente hablar, boycott Israel.
Il n'y a qu'un pas d'hypocrisie à la diplomatie. Rester là assis devant la situation raciste, c'est pas l'image que j'ai d'un homme droit. L'immunité qu'Israël s'octroie me choque, moi regarde la pauvreté d'un peuple, comment relativiser. C'est le pouvoir qu'il faut briser, je viens viser sans stigmatiser. Je suis pas venu pactiser comme l'ONU ni attiser la haine, mais l'inégalité que la mauvaise foi entraîne à décupler ma peine. C'est aux instances dirigeantes que je m'adresse, car on agresse. Au prix d'erreurs passées, c'est tout un peuple que l'on oppresse. À tous les innocents de tous les camps que cette lutte emporte. La vision est plus sale et que la mer morte, faut qu'on en sorte.
Granater regner over Gazas tak. Träffer sykehus, träffer barnahage barn, träffer sovesal. Det är klart att Stockholm är en apartheidstat. De bygger upp en mur mellan sig och de som icke skall ha borgerskap. För visst du kallar det på pro-palestin, så plötsligt gäller icke regler du kan tro att det ger en. Helt makaber anklang til ordet blodappelsin. Om den er dyrket i stjålet jord og gro fra et liv. Ikke i mitt navn, ikke på mine penger. Det holder slettes ikke å sitte rundt og grine lenger. Så vi må ramme fundamentet, vise Israel. For de driter helt i resolusjoner likevel. Bare en liten del av et mye større bilde. Så må vi boykotta selv da jeg var mye mindre. Ansvaret ligger hos oss alle, så vi vil ha med alle med samvittighet. Boykott Israel.
Palestine still remains illegally occupied. Its people live in inhuman conditions in virtual bantustans towns, where they are subjected to collective punishments, 24-hour curfews, where they are humiliated and brutalized on a daily basis. They never know when their homes will be demolished, when their children will be shot, when their precious trees will be cut, when their roads will be closed, when they will be allowed to walk down to the market to buy food and medicine, and when they will not. They live with no semblance of dignity, with not much hope in sight. They have no control over their lands, their security, their movement, their communication, their water supply.
In fact, the 99%
You're listening to the Anarchy Show on 4ZZZ. Got some worldwide anarchist news coming at you now. Before then, I'll tell you what you've been listening to. That song just there was All Nations by Blue King Brown. And before that was Immortal Technique and a whole bunch of people. And Boycott Israel, following on from the latest episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. Now, in Spain, there's been 9 anarchists arrested, accused of organizing a terrorist group in a new political operation led by the National Court. Hundreds of Catalan police smashed into and searched various anarchist social centers and local homes from 7 a.m. in the neighborhoods of Sants, Gràcia, Clot, and Sant Andreu in the city of Barcelona and the city of Manresa. The police attacks were ordered by the Spanish National Court as a new phase in the much criticized and ridiculed Pandora operation. Among the targets this time is the Revoltosa occupied social center in Clot and the main anarchist NTO center in Saints at Maria Victoria Saint, where 10 vans of riot police were deployed. And when the news got out, dozens of people have gathered to show their solidarity and cut the principal road with a banner in support of the detainees. So that's been happening in Spain, and there's been big solidarity demonstrations there. And you may have heard, but the Juice Media, who make the Juice Rap News, will no longer be continuing as the Juice Rap News, as Hugo, one half of the team, is leaving the show to focus on his solo career. Also, anarchist news. On October 24, multiple groups came together to shut down an international police conference in Chicago. Hashtag Stop the Cops featured simultaneous direct actions, a march, 3 separate blockades in intersections around the conference center using U-locks and lockboxes, and perhaps most impressively, a 4th blockade inside the actual convention center, which forced the cops to crawl to get inside. And if you want to check it out more, follow that hashtag, Stop the Cops. A U.S. flag outside the conference was also replaced with a flag that said unapologetically black. Going to hear a few songs now called Police State. The first one is by Test Their Logic.
A police state, we're living right now in a police state. It's a police state, it's a police state. Rise up, rebel, before it's too late. A police state, we're living right now in a police state. A police state, a police state. Rise up, rebel, before it's too late.
Declaring martial law, a heart of y'all.
Stand up to the empire, make it fall.
Declaring martial law, a heart of y'all.
We are so big, they are so small.
This holy state is a massive mistake. We are about to see fascism face. So before it's too late, start smashing the state. Break the banks, don't give the bankers a break. They give orders to the pigs in the streets. They give them quarters to me. Power tripping when they're holding the heat. Big brother's watching and he knows we're asleep. We don't need no pigs and we don't need no prisons. We need healthy communities to live in. We don't need systems, no politicians. We act directly to change our condition. Freedom can't
be given. You gotta take it and make it your mission to live every day like your vision of escaping the system of enslavement to rich men. Actions and strategies, not wishful thinking. Don't forget the pace of listening. Tapping your phone, trying to catch you slipping. When they come knocking, you gotta resist them. Police state's here and the clock is ticking. A police state, a police state. We're living right now in a police state. It's a police state, it's a police state. Rise up, rebel before it's too late. A police state, a police state. We're living right now in a police state. A police state, a police state. Rise up, rebel before it's too late.
It's a brave new world, big brothers watching. Police state, scheming and plotting. New world order without options. People rise up, governments were toppling. September 11th, I haven't forgotten. Was an inside job, I'm still a dropping. On the Middle East, the police ain't stopping. Taking liberties, true peace, they're blocking. They call it freedom, but to me they're mocking. Ideals of justice, just check the clock in. Ready yourself, gotta move with caution. Gotta train every day, be ready to drop them. Satan incorporates microchips and cotton. Prison industry, poor people's locking. Don't answer the door when the beast is knocking. But they can't stop us, rise up and rock them in a police state. A police state, we're living right now in a police state. It's a police state, it's a police state. Rise up, rebel before it's too late. A police state, a police state. We're living right now in a police state. It's a police state, a police state. Rise up, rebel before it's too late.
Declare a martial law, a order, y'all.
Stand up to the empire, make it fall.
Declare a martial law, a order, y'all.
We are so big, they are so small.
You must actively shape your own destiny and the destiny of the world.
Hey, this is Kazman from Dubai. Wishing 4ZZZ a happy 40th birthday.
Burn.
police state there by the Great Shame, who sadly aren't playing around Brisbane anymore. And before that, you heard Police State by Test Their Logic. I'm going to do a little bit about what's happening in Kubani. Kubani is a town in northern Syria, in Rojava, West Kurdistan, and it's witnessed an unprecedented battle and resistance against the attacks of the ISIS gangs since last year. And it's now become a glimmer of hope for Middle Eastern peoples. And yesterday, November 1, was World Kubani Day. On the 14th of September 2014, the Kubani canton became the target of anti-human ISIS gangs that made a great effort to turn the Middle East into a bloodbath. With the support of regional reactionary states and imperialist powers, this savage organization then encircled the town on the basis of a plan for a big massacre, but it faced unexpected resistance. After occupying a large part of Iraq and Syria, the gangs intended to suppress the people of Rojava. However, they frustrated all their plans and defeated them under the leadership of the YPG and the YPJ. That's the People's Army, and also the Women's Defense Unit. Embracing all peoples in Kubani and other cantons of Rojava, regardless of their race, religion, culture, and language, the YPG and the YPJ forces soon gained recognition as freedom fighters, not only by Syrian peoples, but all around the world. Kurdish women, who took it as a betrayal to surrender to the ISIS that attacked Kobani with all their heavy weapons, became the symbol for the freedom of women refusing to leave their neighborhood. So I've got a documentary now, a section of a documentary called Rojava, a Democratic System in Progress. And why anarchists are so interested in it is that the region is using some anarchist principles to develop a new life and a new way of organization. We're going to hear that now.
You can live without food, you can live without a bath, you can live without a house, but you can't live without dignity, you can't live without sharing, you can't live without love, you know. And I think those are the things that need to be are lost in a lot of countries, in a lot of systems, and these are the things that are very, very important at the core of what the Kurdish revolution, what the Rojava revolution, the revolution of the people of the Middle East means. Democratic confederalism is a system developed by the Kurdish leader, the PKK leader, Abdullah Öcalan. It's a system that rejects nation-statism and is an alternative to nation-statism in the Middle East. It's a system without borders. It's predicated on the organization of communities from the bottom up, in the form of democratic assemblies, in the form of neighborhood assemblies, women's organizations, youth organizations, economic cooperatives, which build up to make democratic autonomy, which then lots of democratic autonomous regions make up the democratic confederalism. Let's say you have a problem with your water supply. The people will try to resolve it at the local level. So people will have a direct impact. The people living on a certain street or a road will have a direct impact on their own street and resolve their own problem themselves. Because there's assemblies at every level as well, people are always in the decision-making process. So you cannot say you do not have enough qualified politicians, because everybody is a politician. And they're looking at all these alternatives. For example, Linux is the only system which has Kurdish on it. So a lot of Kurds prefer using Linux, for example, which automatically then democratizes the Kurdish people as well through using Linux because it's an open source. I mean, other things like Bitcoin are being discussed, I've heard. These are all things that I've heard. I haven't specifically seen it. But again, with the principles and the philosophy of this movement, of this revolution, these are all things that will be preferred over other closed, hierarchical or capitalistic products or sources.
You get all the time is people saying, oh, they're really still an authoritarian Marxist-Leninist group, they're just pretending to all this Bookchinite stuff to get like foreign support. It's like, right, you know, here you are, you're on the terrorist list, you're going to try to get off it by claiming you're anarchists. You know, I mean, come on, if you're looking for foreign support, you'd pretend to either be an Islamist or a liberal, you know, that way you'll get support. Yeah, they said there's three levels of the economy. There's the war economy, there's what they call the open economy, which is a traditional market bazaar economy, which has existed for thousands of years, and there's the cooperative sector, which is what they're trying to develop. They have academies where they offer sort of six-week courses on how to do democratic self-management in the economic sector. Unfortunately, so many resources are, well, they have one in, let's put it this way, they have one major advantage and one major disadvantage. The one major advantage is they didn't have to collectivize a lot of stuff because a lot of it either was already collectivized or had been privatized into the hands of cronies of the regime who then fled. So about 50% of the land, for example, is collectively owned now. They didn't have to expropriate anything. However, so that's their advantage. The disadvantage is so many resources have to be put into the war effort. So we were at a cooperative, you know, sewing workshop, and everybody was making military uniforms, and they were doing it in a, you know, cooperative fashion, but still, everything's focused on the war effort while it's lasting, which, so they can talk about their kind of long-term vision of gradually building up the cooperative sector and the idea of ecological industrialism to gradually replaces everything else. You can't get rid of capitalism unless you get rid of the state, and you can't get rid of the state unless you get rid of patriarchy. But instead of saying, therefore, you know, let us get rid of you know, capitalism, and then eventually the state will wither away, and gradually, of course, patriarchy will follow of its own accord. They realize that's not how it works. That's not going to happen. So we're going to do it the other way around. You know, we're going to start with the family, with basic interpersonal relationships.
Get everything through struggle. But of course, I have to say Öcalan's role here has been important, because as a leader of a movement and organization, he has actually stood by the women and opened space for them to grow in politics, grow in ideological terms, grow in terms of self-defense, in social aspects and all that, you know. So I think he has a very great role there. But even then, if the women didn't actually demand things and, you know, didn't show that courage to demand things, then obviously Öcalan too perhaps would not have seen a need to open up the spaces. But the opposite is also true. You know, we don't see many leaders who are actually opening up ideological, you know, self-defense, social, economical, or whatever areas for women's organizations. So there is this strong, that's why there's such a strong bondage between Öcalan and the Kurdish women as well. So in that sense, of course, this struggle meant many things, like the very people who resisted actually the tortures in the infamous Diyarbakir prison was the woman. Firstly, it was the woman who was killed, for example, in Paris, Sakine Cansız. She's almost become a mythological figure because she was the very first woman who was to not break down. She was the very first person who did not break down in the face of all types of tortures that you can imagine, you know. And then it grew from there, you know. A lot of people, a lot of women actually rushed to the organization because they saw freedom there. Freedom from feudal structures, not only freedom from Turkish state, but freedom from feudal structures of the society as well, you know. And so they gained a lot of respect because to live under those conditions, you know, like the women would not be able to even go on the street maybe, especially due to the colonial power's suppression. And then this woman was on top of the mountains and fighting the second biggest army of the NATO.
You just heard a segment there from a documentary called Rojava, A Democratic System in Progress. And you can watch the rest of that documentary or watch the whole documentary if you go to autonomousactionradio.com. Interviewed in the segment you heard then was Mehmet Aksoy, who's got a website, KurdishQuestion.com, David Graeber, who we heard from a few weeks ago with in our talk about what is anarchism, and also Hevin Tansir. So go to AutonomousActionRadio.com to hear more about that. And yesterday, events were held all around the world, in London, several places in Germany and France, Sweden, Norway, in Melbourne and Sydney in Australia, and also in America and Canada. You've been listening to The Anarchy Show on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. You can find our playlist at 4ZZZFM.org.au/program/The Anarchy Show.
Fingertips wipe away my teardrops, a curse. You digging in my purse, so may you rock a hearse. This feeling's popular, cause people's kids need socks and shirts. And if you owe, you get whopped the worst. Hope to Hollywood endings without plot the first. Be happy all I did so far is drop a verse. See, I'm old school, like coke lines and LP covers. Learn how to hustle, then run when the heat hovers. Fist to my heart, warm embrace how I greet others. Cooking with no lights, make my fish burn like deep cover. Keep cover, cause I'm fenced to spray. I work from sun up to sundown and miss the day. You've been saying for months that you gon' fix my pain, while the hours of my life get pissed away. This is the place where I take my stand. Take my stick and draw a line in the sand. Show my hand, initiate the actions plan. I meet the rubber, I'ma sure meet my fucking demands. Here's the place where I take my stand. Take my stick and draw a line in the sand. Show my hand, initiate the actions plan. Now give me time for us all to give me back my claim.
Crawling but not crawling.